Have you ever felt overwhelmed by life or unable to see any other way through? Maybe you've even said to yourself, there has to be a better way. The good news is that there is always a better way. It's time to reclaim your humanity. Welcome to Getting to Unstuck, the 20-minute jolt that you need to help you in life and work. So let's get started.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. I keep forgetting to unmute myself at that last minute. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Teamwork Tuesday. We are so close to spring. I can almost taste it. Fantastic time to be alive. And it's another fantastic Tuesday to have a great conversation. So thank you for joining us today. If you're joining us for the first time, we want to welcome you to Getting to Unstuck. This is a conversation that we have every Tuesday, and we're focused on what it's like to be a leader, to be part of a team, and how we can do better, and how us choosing to reclaim the areas of our humanity only results in good things for all of us. Speaking of results in good things for all of us, before we get into today's conversation, which is going to be fantastic, March 28th. Carol, do you want to let us know about March 28th?
Sure. March 28th, we're going to do a replay on our workshop from February. We're going to invite more folks to be involved in our workshop, which is called, now I've forgotten the name of the workshop.
Future is Whole Human Connection.
The Future is Whole Human Connection. And everyone who comes on board for that workshop on March 28th at 8 a.m. Pacific will have an opportunity to walk away with a tool that is going to help you in your leadership, help you in your connection with your people, whether it's your family or your community or the folks that you work with, and to be able to see a live coaching demonstration. Mm-hmm. So see what coaching is all about, because it is all about connection.
It is. So it's going to be a live workshop, and it's going to be 90 minutes. And so we strongly invite you to join us for it, because if you've not experienced a live coaching workshop before, we would be thrilled to have you join us and experience the power of what that kind of an experience can offer you. And there's limited seats. That is actually true. That is not a sales ploy. That is actually the truth. There are limited seats. So today we're going to be talking about what playing favorites says about your leadership. So I don't know if you've ever thought about this. If you play favorites with your team, do you even know how to recognize if you are? It may seem like the path of least resistance at times if you are someone who's given into it. But there's a bigger question about what is it telling you and your team about your leadership and how you show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we know that there are some pain points, and I'm not sure, Colin, whether your pain point is actually quiet enough to talk.
My pain point. Yes. No, I'm good now. I think the dog has settled down. But yeah, I mean, the pain points are things like decreased motivation, decreased morale. You have things like obviously increased turnover. But the biggest impact, I think, is what we talk about often is this idea of the erosion of cultural cohesion, right? Where you begin to, if favorites are perceived and seen, then you begin that sort of breakdown of cohesion, and then the toxicity comes in, and ultimately loss of trust, right? Which we spoke about on a couple of times ago. So, you know, again, not a lot of great ingredients for a cocktail to make a team, function, right?
One of those topics that gets talked about a lot but not in front of the leader. It's right. The kind of conversation that is had in the lunchroom. It's had, right. You know, over cocktails after work. It's like, oh, they always choose that person to be on their team. They always pick that person first. And it's the same, it actually yanks us right back to our childhood experiences of being of favoritism in the playground. Yeah. And because it echoes so dramatically in our previous traumas, it can be really insidious and quite nasty if there is perceived favoritism. Even just the perception of it can be damaging to you as a leader.
Yeah. And I think favoritism happens in a variety of ways. Like sometimes it is just because it's the path of least resistance. It could be that that's the person that has been around the longest, or they're it could just be that we as leaders, if we fall into that habit, we're just thinking about it in terms of the most efficient way to do things, or, I just know that, or it could be a variety of reasons. It could be pure ego because that person is the person that doesn't push back and challenge you in anything. It's kind of endless. But it also opens up the reality of the conversation about how inclusive is your workplace in your team? How inclusive is your team? And how safe do people feel on your team to put their hand up and say, I want to be a part of what's going on there? Or how, for us as leaders, how often do we push ourselves past what would be our natural default to choose, whether it's for an affinity's sake or whatever else, and to actually think bigger and be willing to see the possibilities of what we can create with other people?
Mm-hmm. So I think the opening question is to be able to consider, if you are a leader and listening to this, that are you playing favorites? And really be honest in your inventories. Like, have I equitably offered opportunities across my team? Yeah. Or do I always go, as you said, Crystal, with the path of least resistance? Because I know so-and-so can get it done. Mm-hmm. There's both sides of it. There is an aspect of it that makes sense, unfortunately.
Yeah. 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 And I think it also, I mean, I've had situations where I have been coaching a client and their frustration has been that they've seen the leader play the favorites and they've seen people bypass them, even though there was an established way. This is an order of how we do things, of who's reporting to who, and that people felt the freedom or the ability to be the exception, to bypass them and go around straight up to the person, and that the leader is not calling that out. And that does, Colin, what you said, that does erode trust. And trust is not easily won back once it's lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about that.
I think too, it kind of, because you can see it easily happening, because as you guys were speaking, I thought of the performance review, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have somebody that's not performing on your team, right, not meeting, it's easy to veer towards the ones that are, right? But I guess the nugget here is perhaps you need to dig deeper with that individual to find out where the performance, why the performance is not happening. And it may have something to do that with nothing that you've thought about, nothing about career development or training. It might be something totally, totally external. So it just begs greater awareness, I think, and greater mindfulness, because it can be so easy to go, well, they're not performing, I'm going to just go over here, right?
Oh, yes.
In the fast-paced world that we're living in.
Well, and we were talking about deadlines. I mean, if you know you've got a deadline coming up and you know that this person beside you is going to get done what needs to get done, you're not even going to think twice about handing it to that person. But we also talked about, and I wanted just to bring this back, that when can having favorites be valuable? And does it have that was a question I posed, Colin. And so it have value?
It does, actually. It does have value. And that's why it's this tightrope of awareness to walk, right? Because it can contribute to increased motivation. It can contribute to the development of talent, right? So you see somebody, so it's this fine line between like mentorship and favoritism, right? Like that you've got to walk. And it can also, increase communications or improve communications. So there's some positives to it as well. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but maybe that's an interesting question, right? How do you draw the line between mentorship and favoritism?
Well, I think the answer is the story that you were sharing, Crystal, about the mom on her deathbed.
Oh, yeah. This is such a fantastic story. So I heard an Indigenous gentleman, I believe he's from Saskatoon, share this fantastic story one time during a story time session. And his mother was, she was towards the end of her life. And each of, there was three sons, and they were each spending time in the hospital with her as she's preparing to pass. And he went in and he was, you know, having what did become his last conversation with his mother and telling her how much she meant to him. And, you know, she was not very communicative because she was quite quiet, but she just, as he was finishing up, she said, "Don't tell the other boys, but you were always my favorite." And he said he left thinking, very first of all, thinking, "Wow, I am her favorite. I knew it all along." And now I just got the proof. And then after she had passed and the three brothers were in conversation, it came up that one of them confessed that she had said that to him as well. And it turned out that she had said that to all three of them. Mm. And I remember thinking, first of all, it brought me to tears. I remember thinking at that time, wow, how amazing to think that you are the favorite. What is it about the element of someone treating you as so favored, that what does that bring out in you? And what does it allow you to start to believe about yourself and what you're capable of doing? It's a beautiful proposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we've all worked with charismatic leaders,
yeah,
who are, you know, when you're in their element, when you're in their circle and they shine their light on you, you really feel like you are mm-hmm. special.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the element that I think this conversation is about, mm-hmm. is how you can be a leader and shine your favoritism on everyone so that everyone feels that they are special and taken yeah. care of in your perspective, in your view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no matter what they're bringing to the table, right? And that's that. Yeah. That's it's not. Maybe it's not a light that, it's not a floodlight on everybody. You know, really understanding who are the human beings that you have in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the real drivers behind them? Because I think, again, going back to performance reviews, they can be so tedious and connected to raises and things like that, but you know, really going in and diving into what is unique and special about every individual that you've got on your team.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And mm-hmm. that takes a bit of effort and a bit of time, but.
Well, and it causes us as leaders, if we're looking at ourselves, to take on a little bit more, because mm-hmm. we're going to yes. naturally be inclined to move towards people who we have alignment with. Those yep. people who we're naturally comfortable with, who we have an affinity with, those are the mm-hmm. easy ones. It's sure. the ones where we don't have that same kind of connection, that being a leader, what it requires is what you just said, Colin. You have to go and find out a little bit more so mm-hmm. that they also feel like you have that they have your attention and that you found out something about them. So there's mm-hmm. a little bit more work that's done and perspective that's required when a leader isn't connect with every single human being, which they wouldn't, right? We don't.
Well, there's some fun assessments to do that people can do. There you go. Coffee is hitting in. I shared it with you guys recently, and we'll have to put it up in the show notes because it was, I think it was how to discover your, I forget what it was, but there could be fun play.
Yes.
With sort of assessments and characters. And it's like, oh, you're more this and I'm more that. And you're an introvert. Of course, they're much more in depth than yes. introvert, extrovert now, but mm-hmm. but maybe we could put some of those in the resources.
Well, even the high.
Yeah, exactly.
Values.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because I would almost question whether it's more work to learn about people or if in the end it makes work more easeful to understand and appreciate, because you know what, we know this as leaders, as coaches, and as in the world that we're in, that what you focus on expands. And so mm-hmm. when you focus on what you are grateful for, or when you focus on the potential, when you focus on the possibilities, mm-hmm. your actual ability to be able to comprehend it and take it in also expands with it, right? Because your line of sight changes, right? Mm-hmm. You start to see things differently. You come out of tunnel vision. And so when we're thinking about how we can essentially play favorites with all of our people and the people on our team. When we favor something, it's because we found something in it that makes either in that person that connects with us. Mm-hmm. So looking for and understanding people and what their values are, what their mm-hmm. strengths are, what they bring to it, and even the power of appreciating their story, like what's important yes. to them, what brought them to this place. Like it is, we know this, we are whole humans. And when we approach leadership with that perspective and being, and centering our mindfulness around the people that we're connecting with, it really mm-hmm. does open up all kinds of incredible possibilities.
Yes. And that's where, to be truthful, a coach comes in.
Yeah.
Is if mm-hmm. you're a leader who thinks, oh, I've been accused of playing favorites, or I think I'm playing favorites, mm-hmm. to have someone to offer an objective perspective mm-hmm. and to take a look, do an inventory. How do you lead a meeting? Who do you call on first? Who do you assign work to?
Yeah.
Who do you acknowledge? Mm-hmm. And just really looking at how you are in, how you interact with the people in your organization, and to really review that to gain some perspective and to hear other sides, to be able to see, as you said, what is the story? What's one thing you know about that person that you didn't know before?
Right.
That brings the humanity back into the workplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like what you said though, Carol, both of you, but that it might be hard at the beginning, but then I think it does get easier once you mm-hmm. understand what people are bringing to the office, right? Mm-hmm. You know, instead of just thinking that they go over that threshold of the office door and they turn into a widget or a widget maker mm-hmm. or whatever it is, understanding that that doesn't happen, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody brings their personal life and their family life and the other 18, 16 hours a day that they're doing things,
bring,
you know, so just being cognizant of what they're bringing into the office, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. being aware of it, asking mm-hmm. them about it, you know, mm-hmm. sharing, caring will make a difference in the long run. It's a little bit like that concept of, you know, putting you on your own oxygen mask first.
Yes. You know,
do it now mm-hmm. and later will be better.
True. It does make a difference. And I think that when we look at the workplaces that we have enjoyed being in, mm-hmm. and when we look at the leaders that we have appreciated working mm-hmm. for, there has been that element of play.
Yeah.
There's been the element of fun. And there's been a sense that we knew each other.
Yeah.
I know we often go back to our experience at Playground and is the division of IntraWest and how connected we are with those people that we worked with, because we knew stuff about each other. Mm-hmm. We cared about each other. Mm-hmm. And there was this sense of shared fun and experience as well as the workplace, because those deadlines are not going to go away. Those reports still have to be written. So how do we bring in the element of humanity into that kind of pressure cooker?
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. That thing, that idea of I get you is really big, I think, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get you.
Yeah.
We might not always get along every day. We might not agree on everything. We might not, you know, even, I don't know, but I get you. Means that all of the rest is okay, because the fundamental part is we are just humans mm-hmm. trying to get by. Trying to get by in a crazy world.
Yeah.
You said something.
Yeah. And I think that, go ahead, Carol.
No, please go ahead. No.
No, you. I insist.
All right. Well, what Colin said before we started was that in most cases, like 99% of the people that are listening to this, they're not performing brain surgery. So no one is going to lie bleeding on the table if we miss a deadline.
Yeah.
So we need to remember that too, and have a little freedom, mm-hmm. a little breathing room in the pressures that we apply to each other in the workplace.
Yeah.
Because that's so much of what we hear when we're coaching people, is that they're ground down by the requirements. Yeah. So the invitation is really just to take a breath and realize, okay, we're not going to leave anybody that is on death's door. We're going to actually take care of people instead.
Yeah. And you know, this conversation has been inspired by us looking into the things that teams wished their leaders knew that they think about them. And so to wrap up, I'm curious, you know, what is a question as coaches? What is one of the questions that you would leave with a leader to consider if they are playing favorites? What's the invitation or the question there that you would have for them?
I don't know. I might be really blunt. Do you play favorites?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would be. I mean, that's my natural instinct most times anyway. But I think I would be, you know, are you playing favorites?
Or to open it up as a good coaching question should be not closed ended is how would you know if you were playing favorites?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Fantastic. And I would ask them, I wrote it down just before we started. What would it look like if you treated each team member as if they were your favorite? What would your leadership look like? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. I think you win.
Well, I think they're all important questions because like any good question, there's a time that it can pull out. It will unveil, it will unveil the truth. And that's why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining. If you enjoy the show or you enjoy the show in general, please leave us a review, like it, share it, all that good stuff. You can find us everywhere that you listen to podcasts or watch them as well. And don't forget to mark in your calendars and to sign up because space is legitimately limited for our free live workshop on March 28th at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 12 noon Atlantic Standard Time here on Turtle Island. Until the next time, take care.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to learn more about who we are and who we work with, find us at wholehumancoaching.com. You can find us everywhere on our socials, on LinkedIn, on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube as Whole Human Coaching.